Welcome to Intuitive Astrology with Molly McCord. Thank you so much for joining me today as we're going to take a look at the astrological energies from March 27th until April 3rd. As this is actually a quieter period in the cosmos, which provides us with more of a break and integration after the peak energy of that Libra lunar eclipse on March 25th. There are a few things I'll be sharing with you about that energy to help you move through whatever is coming up for you and perhaps whatever you're realizing. I just got some messages here before I went live that I want to share with you about what to consider and what could be beneficial for making the correct choices during this period and as we move into April. Now, over this next week, we're going to see Venus sextile Uranus and Taurus, and then make a conjunction to Neptune. Both of these transits occur while she's still in Pisces, and they could help with the overall trusting and flow of this energy period. Plus, we have Mercury retrograde beginning on April 1st, where Mercury stations retrograde at 27 degrees of Aries, and the exact time that occurs is at 6:14 p.m. That's Eastern Time. Plus, I also want to touch on the astrology of Easter. Yes, there are direct astrological correlations here to the Easter holiday, which is coming up on March 31st. So I will bring that into today's show as well. But let's begin by discussing this Libra lunar eclipse a bit more. It's important to remember that this particular eclipse is completing something. It's working with the South Node in Libra, which is about endings, what you've graduated from, what you've learned, what you've come to understand about yourself through Libra energies and Libra dynamics. There are two Libra eclipses this year, including the one we are currently moving through, and they are both working with the South Node, and then that's it. So this is a cycle of cleaning up these Libra energies in your chart that are meant to bring you relief, show you what you've been learning, understand more of what you're closing out so that you have more energy going forward for the types of connections you want to actively co-create. The next Libra lunar eclipse will be October 2nd at 10 degrees of Libra, and that will be a solar eclipse. So essentially, we're understanding more of what relationships have brought to our experience, how we have grown and what we've learned through them, but also new choices that you're ready to make, new understandings around what is true for you. And we have people who show up who are a part of our soul's journey and our soul's path. They come through to help us grow, perhaps to mirror something back to us, reflect something that we need, understand more about how we are doing relationships, how we are actively participating and showing up. Also, bringing us into greater contact with our needs, with what healthy, satisfying connections look like for you, especially in the Libra domain of communications, how we communicate who we are, what we like, what we want, and how we're also able to bring our needs to the table. And so for the connections that you're in, this is a time of up-leveling and speaking up, being more in your truth, being more transparent and forthright with what you like, what you need, you know, how to basically add positive energy into these connections that you value and that value you. And of course, these insights and this awareness changes as we become more spiritually aware of who we are. As you understand more of your core energy, you understand more of what you like, what you don't like, what you need, what you want. All of that opens up and it can even become more streamlined, meaning you have greater clarity on what is best for you in connections, on even what you're working on, what you're improving, where you are wanting to up-level yourself and be a better communicator, be more in your power while allowing others to be in their power. There's also the energy here of being able to handle disagreement in connections, when you're on different pages, when you want different things. What does healthy compromise really look like? And is that something that you're choosing to a default, where if you're compromising too much, that can bring up resentment. That can be something that you're unconsciously holding against the other. And perhaps you're realizing, I don't want to keep compromising what I need or who I am. And that could be something that is being activated for you during these Libra energies. And so whatever might be coming up for you at 5 degrees of Libra in your natal chart by house, by house placement, is where the universe wants to bring you into greater balance, wants you to look at what do you need to experience and feel greater peace. And chances are with the South Node here in Libra, it's what do you need to let go of? What are you complete with first in yourself? What do you no longer need from another? What do you no longer want to keep experiencing or keep creating in your life because it's not a fit, it doesn't work, it's not good for you, it disrupts your peace? And this could be some very strong realizations about what needs to end, what is complete for you because it takes you away from your balanced equilibrium state. It removes more from your life or more from your core energy rather than bring it in. And this can bring up dynamics of giving and taking, where if you realize you've been around a lot of takers and it hasn't been reciprocated, that it's up to you to establish new boundaries or make it clear, you know, where the reciprocity needs to show up. That could be something that this Libra eclipse brings to your awareness. Perhaps you're also understanding where you're overgiving or where you've become codependent or you're overinvested to the point where it's draining you and it takes you away from your peace. It takes you away from your own internal harmony. There could be realizations about people in your life that you're complete with, and it brings you peace to realize I never have to see them again. I never have to talk to them again. That chapter is over, and there's no going back to that because the lesson or the energy within you is complete. And maybe you feel like you're just tying a bow around it now, and it's final. So you could understand that there are people in your life who are no longer good for you. They're no longer an energetic match. And it brings you relief to know you don't have to put any more time, energy, or effort into that connection, whatever it might be. So as you navigate through this cycle, you can use a simple question such as, what supports my peace? What is good for my internal equilibrium? And where do I feel harmony at this time based on choices I can make? And that is another Libra keyword, choices, because that Libra energy can have analysis paralysis and it can overthink, not wanting to rock the boat, not wanting to create any conflict or disruptions and not wanting to hurt people's feelings. Libra will weigh the pros and cons, but with the North Node in Aries, this is actually a time of choosing yourself, choosing what you need, choosing what is true for you, what is best for you, and allowing that to be what brings you peace. Because you could realize that you've been out of balance based on unconscious choices that haven't been serving you. And so there is a review and a reflection period that comes up when an eclipse is working with the South Node. Because we're meant to look back on how has that played out? How has that shown up? What did I choose? What did I communicate? What were my decisions? There's always accountability, especially in an ascension journey. It's accountability for your energy. And so there could be some things you're realizing around your own relating habits that are showing you more of what you are outgrowing, what you are shedding because it no longer is in alignment with how you want to experience relationships and connections, and it's no longer in alignment with the truth of who you are. Now, the ruler of this Libra lunar eclipse is Venus. And she is in Pisces until April 4th, and that's when she will enter Aries. But as she's in Pisces over this next week, she has a sextile to Uranus in Taurus at 20 degrees. This happens on March 28th. And I feel like this is where you could receive some affirming insights into what you've been moving through. Venus is exalted in Pisces, meaning she is beautifully supported and highly elevated here. She is kind, compassionate, intuitive, empathetic, but she also has to make sure that she's not only doing that for others, where she's not only serving outside of herself, but she's also giving herself that same loving kindness. And as this Venus and Pisces sextiles Uranus in Taurus, there could be something that you feel has changed within your frequency. I'm seeing a shift in the heart. And it's interesting because Uranus in Taurus, Taurus is ruled by Venus as well. So there's definitely movement in the heart chakra. There's movement in the heart space, but I hope it feels like an expansion of self-love. I hope it feels too like perhaps something nurturing and kind that the universe is giving you as it recognizes your journey and what you're completing, because Venus in Pisces is in a closing out phase. And so there's things that she has been through, perhaps quite karmic, perhaps quite universal, meaning universal themes that many people can relate to and understand. And here she is learning from those experiences, allowing the wisdom to stay with her, allowing it to support her spiritual growth and expansion. And the sextile to Uranus in Taurus gives her a jolt that is supportive, gives her a sense of higher self-worth that can feel strengthening and affirming. This can also be a lightning strike of spiritual awareness, like something clicks, something that is shifting within you expands the heart space, and you understand how the lesson and growth is always connected to love, that the universe operates on very high frequencies and we can become disconnected from that universal love. And I feel that that's part of the download here on March 28th is a sense of universal love and acceptance for whatever it is for you that this Libra eclipse is changing, but to have peace in your heart around it, knowing that the lesson always comes back to love. The healing comes back to love. So it's an interesting energy of like jolting love, like a frequency that is very high vibe, and it's just injecting something into your awareness that is meant to elevate your consciousness. It just feels like there could be a fresh insight that you get even about your soul's journey. And maybe that's part of what Venus in Pisces is revealing to you, showing you themes you've had across lifetimes of connections, of relationships. Venus being also related to sisters, friendships, women, and of course, divine feminine expressions. Then Venus in Pisces moves ahead and will have an exact conjunction with Neptune on April 3rd at 28 degrees of Pisces. So near the very, very end of the full zodiac wheel. And this is where she is surrendering. And I see this as a feminine throwing back her arms, opening up the chest, the heart space, like expanding it out and just feeling a huge release that is freeing her and elevating her. And then I see this energy shape shift into a butterfly, because there is certainly a floating energy here. There's something around elevating up beyond the mundane, the physical, and the everyday experience. It's about going higher into a union with your higher self, and allowing that energy to provide you with unconditional love and acceptance. Also, a big release, like just letting something go, feeling complete, feeling done, but it feels so otherworldly. I mean, I'm feeling these realms of multidimensional guides coming in to support whatever you're transcending, as well as dissolving. I mean, this is a very big Piscean release point at 28 degrees of Pisces. And it could be that you're feeling parts of the heart empty out. This is interesting because I'm seeing that if the heart has been holding any density, there is the support for letting it go. I'm also seeing the crown chakra. And if it's been blocked, if you've been blocked from your own intuition or spiritual downloads, if anything has been blocking your innate connection to the higher realms, you could feel like you're just ready to trust it more. And that is one of the undercurrents of this energy. It's trusting the universe more and your higher self, trusting the cosmic realms that are supporting you. And I'm seeing a waterfall of energy flush through all of the energy systems. And it looks like one of those beautiful, sparkly waterfalls that has purple water. Very mystical and magical, and it's just clearing out and flushing through what you're ready to release. There can also be a lot of tears with this. Sadness can come through as part of that release process. And the energy of sadness doesn't have to be judged. It doesn't even have to be something that you connect it to a thing, where maybe it is connected to an event, an experience, a person, whatever. But it could also just be a movement of energy that needs to flow, and it doesn't have to be something you identify with or even understand. So it's actually quite a significant week for Venus, coming off of the Libra lunar eclipse, and as she ventures through the last decan of Pisces. And that could be something too where you want to retract, you want to have more time to yourself. This can be great for anything that also helps you move energy. Like, do you ever listen to musical lyrics and they just resonate with what you're feeling and it helps you to move that feeling because someone else is singing it to you or you like the melody or whatever it might be? That's also very much this Pisces influence of whatever helps you flow with the feelings, whether it is music or something artistic or creative, whatever gets you into that zone is part of this week. So even though we're in Aries season and we have Aries energy that wants to move forward, the energy feels like you can only go ahead if you let go of what was. You can only move forward if you're willing to accept what's complete, because otherwise that becomes the baggage that you're dragging with you. And there is a simultaneous energy signature here of Pisces wanting you to let go, because we have Mars, Saturn, Venus, and Neptune all in Pisces, even though the sun is ready to charge forth in Aries, where it is exalted and strong. And in fact, the sun continues to travel by itself until it reaches a conjunction with Chiron and has the new moon solar eclipse on April 8th. When the sun in Aries is traveling on its own without making any major aspects to other main planets, this is a sun that is very much in its own energy. So it amplifies more of the Aries qualities of independence, initiation, developing self-confidence, and understanding more of who you are right now. So there could be more of that lone wolf sigma energy. People might want more space, might want to do more of their own thing, and kind of want to be left alone, especially with the strong Pisces influence. So if you're feeling that or sensing that in others, just know it's simply part of the collective energy experience at this time. Now, I did want to touch on the astronomy and astrology of Easter. And that's because of how Easter, the holiday, is celebrated on a different Sunday every year. You've probably noticed that, right? And that's because it's directly related to the lunar cycles. And this is how it works. Easter occurs on the first Sunday following the first full moon after the equinox. So let me state that another way. We have the equinox, that begins the astrological calendar as we define it. It also begins spring in the Northern Hemisphere and fall in the Southern Hemisphere. So we have that every year around March 19th, 20th, 21st. Then we either have a new moon or a full moon after the equinox. And because we're currently in a lunar reversal cycle, we're having the full moon before the new moon in each astrological month. In fact, it was written in the 8th century that the Sunday following the full moon, which falls on or after the equinox, will give the lawful Easter. This has been widely discussed through the centuries. There are different interpretations, different calculations, and the calculations have changed as the calendar has changed between the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar, plus with the different interpretations and practices of Christianity. And in fact, the original way that Easter was determined was based on the astronomical calculations in Jerusalem. So it is connected to the astronomy and connected to the lunar calendar, which we then relate to astrology, because the astrology provides more meaning and interpretation of the astronomical events and developments. And so what I'm referencing is the astronomical Easter, which is the Gregorian Easter, but that's different than the Julian Easter and Jewish Passover. So it's fascinating to look at how all of this, though, comes down to what is happening in the heavens above us, in the cosmos above us. Now, we know that Easter will have a set date, and then 40 days before that date is when Lent begins. And in some countries and cultures, before Lent begins, there's a huge carnival celebration. In New Orleans, it's Mardi Gras. In other countries, it is carnival, where there are parades and celebrations. But let's look at what that word means and what it originates in. Carn refers to meat and flesh. It refers to feasting and abundance. It can also relate directly to the human body. And this is where carnival is about feasting and pleasure and joy and happiness before the 40 days of Lent begins, because Lent is when you have to give up a pleasure or you're sacrificing something. You're saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to abstain from that. So let's look at this a little bit more through the astrology. What does 40 days represent in astrology? And I'm pausing as if I can hear your answer. 40 days is Venus retrograde. Venus retrograde is when you give up pleasure, right? It's when you are sacrificing something, you can't have it. So Lent, 40 days of Lent, is actually related to an initial Venus retrograde phase of what you could not enjoy. And then right before the Venus retrograde, carnival, removing and enjoying what you have while you have it, before you have to abstain or sacrifice or give up something, carnival is basically going overboard and getting the energy out of your system, having a giant parade and celebration and people going to extremes because they're anticipating where they're going to not have whatever that is for 40 days. And that 40 days is related to Venus retrograde. Now, there is not a Venus retrograde every time there's Lent. I'm going back to the origination here of how these energies tie into the astronomy and the astrology. So every year you could look at it as, okay, there's the Easter holiday, whether you celebrate it or not. And then preceding that is a Venus retrograde phase where people are giving up something that brings them joy or pleasure, or perhaps they are refining it to be in better health or greater self-awareness around their energy. Of course, it depends on the intention and the practice. I realize that these traditions have multiple interpretations and multiple ways they're practiced, but I wanted to tie it to the astrology here to understand how this relates to the astrological cycles that we are familiar with. And in Christian traditions, the 40 days were the 40 days that Jesus fasted and then led to his resurrection of Easter. So I hope this helps maybe connect some dots, or at least provides a new lens to understand how astrology and astronomy are directly related to our modern day practices and holidays, as well as how we can basically understand that humanity has always looked up to the cosmos for understanding, for cycles, for messages, and for greater understanding of how to work with these cycles here on our planet. So right after the Easter holiday on March 31st, we then move into April, where Mercury retrograde begins at 27 degrees of Aries. Now keep in mind that Mercury retrograde starts to feel a slowdown about a week or so in advance. And that's something you could already be in. And that's something too that could be coming up in your world as Mercury appears to put on the brakes and slow down. Now keep in mind, planets don't ever really go in reverse. It's simply our perspective here on Earth where it seems that they are slowing down, stopping, and moving in retrograde. And I think this is very supportive of the human experience, meaning when we have these retrogrades, it helps us slow down and to not be on autopilot. It helps us to be more conscious of what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing. And as Mercury is in retrograde 3 or 4 times a year, it helps us to come back to our priorities and really be mindful around what we're choosing, what we're saying, and what we are actively putting energy into in our daily worlds. Mercury is not only the mind and communication, it's what we say, what we think, what we perceive, how we perceive, but it's also your immediate daily environment. It is your phone, your laptop, your devices. It is your vehicles and your everyday modes of transportation. Mercury is how you go about your day, the errands you run, your daily schedule, what you need to take care of, and how you go about organizing your life, your daily commitments, and everything on your calendar. So as Mercury stations retrograde on April 1st, there's a sense of, okay, let me just think this through. Let me slow this down and look at what is important, what's in front of me. What do I need to take care of? And where did I overcommit? Where did I take on too much because I was moving too fast, which can be the case with Mercury and Aries. And there could be things now that you're looking back and you're like, wow, there's too much here. I bit off more than I can chew, and I'm ready to cut some things out. This is also a great period of time to play catch up, to not take on anything new, which could be difficult with the Aries energy that wants the new. But there's a review here so that you're understanding what is truly worth my energy. What do I really want? What's really in alignment for me? And give yourself time to think it through. Make sure that your words match up with your truth. And make sure that that truth is rooted in your driving intention. So this is a Mercury retrograde to come back to, what is my intention? What do I want in this part of my life? Where do I really want to begin and get started? And what's going to have legs to move forward? Because that Aries energy can be scattered. It can want to start a bunch of things and then realize, I can't do all this, or this was nonsense. This was silly. This is not my truth. So come back to your intention here. What is the most important priority at this time? What is your intention in the Aries houses in your chart? And this retrograde, it starts at 27 degrees of Aries and it travels back to 15 degrees, 59 minutes. So basically 16 degrees of Aries. That is the territory in your chart where you are going to be reconsidering, reviewing, reprioritizing, and relaxing. That is an RE word. That is a retrograde word. Where are you ready to do less and give yourself a bit of a break to think it through, to not rush it through? Now, obviously, we can't always do that. There are things that require our attention, things we have to commit to, or we need to follow up on, or we've got to take care of during a retrograde phase. but adjust your expectations. Just know that it's going to change. There will be false starts. There's things that are going to come back around that you have to discuss again and look at again. So don't get pissed off and don't be too impatient, because that's something that can happen with the Mercury in Aries, where it just blows off steam and it's really annoyed or agitated by something. But Mercury in Aries gets over it fast, moves through it quickly. Okay, fine. It is what it is. Let's move on. Let me take a look at that again. I will review it and get it back to you. The other thing about this Mercury in Aries, ask questions. Get information. Don't just dash off on your own independent journey. Make sure that you're getting information that is accurate and applicable during this retrograde phase, because that Mercury can move so fast. I mean, truthfully, Mercury in Aries is one of the fastest moving Mercuries. And then you realize you just have to go back to the starting line because of what you forgot or what you didn't think to ask or verify before going out. There could also be things that fall away and drop off, and you thought it was going to move forward and it's a halt or it's a hard stop. There will be cancellations. There will be things that don't happen. So as with every Mercury retrograde, as I said, stay flexible, stay adaptable, and keep your expectations open. Also, keep in mind that with Mercury retrograde happening during eclipse season, communications can be eclipsed. This can be on more of a collective, widespread level. This could be simply having problems sending an email or a text or something that you normally do. It's eclipsed. It's not happening. It's not going through. This could also be through internet connections, satellite connections, any kind of wireless technology that isn't working as quickly or how we normally expect it to work. But the Aries energy is good at figuring things out on the spot, finding that next immediate option or solution or something else to move towards and work with. So we'll continue to see how these energies play out as we move into April and approach the Aries solar eclipse on April 8th. And I did have a few more things I wanted to share with you before signing off for this week. I wanted to introduce you to another astrologer, a galactic astrologer who I think is doing really great work. Her name is Ulrika Sullivan. That's Ulrika Sullivan. You can find her on YouTube, and she does galactic astrology readings for every new moon and full moon, and she talks about more galactic points and energies that are really fascinating. She's certainly expanding consciousness around what is happening in the galaxy and in the cosmos. So please check out her work and see if it resonates with you, because she could open you up to even more of your multidimensional energies and cosmic frequencies. I also want to say a heartfelt thank you to a member of my team, Skyla, who is moving on. She found a dream job in San Diego, and I'm so excited for her to start this new position. But I'm also so grateful for everything she has brought to my social media posts. So full disclosure, the beautiful astrology graphics and images on my Instagram and Facebook were created by her. And I deeply appreciate that she was a member of my team for about a year and a half. And I'm also happy to welcome in Rosalyn, a new member of my team who's going to be handling more of the Instagram and Facebook graphics and posts. Because I'm not going to lie, it takes a village these days to get a lot of things done and to stay on top of it all. And I am so grateful for each person on my team who takes care of things behind the scenes. And I always want to give them full credit and a round of applause for what they contribute. And then this leads me to thanking you. Those of you who tune in, who listen to this podcast, who have been listeners for years, and who resonate with what I offer and share. There are so many excellent astrologers these days. We're so lucky to have so many top-notch people sharing their decades of wisdom and expertise peace and study. And I'm always grateful that we can also meet here and share this space twice a week. And for me, on a personal level, this podcast and astrology has been very grounding and has kept me focused on how I can serve and what I can offer you through this work, through this purpose. As we begin this new cycle in Aries season, as we work with these eclipses, please know that one of the best things you can do is invest in your spiritual gifts and your spiritual energy. Invest in your intuition, in trusting yourself. It's going to be one of the best things you can do to navigate the ongoing chaotic energies of this planet. It's going to be how you not only retain your power and feel empowered, but how you up-level in your power. And whatever those gifts are for you, there's always ways to optimize them, to strengthen them, to develop them more. And it's needed more than ever. In fact, I believe that's part of the Earth's ascension journey that we are actively embodying, that not only is the Earth ascending through very big energies, but we are ready for it, and we are ready to move into these next level skills that we have access to and that we are designed to experience, especially after you have done a lot of deep healing work. You've had those multiple dark nights of the soul. And you've probably heard me mention that many of us, we get a punch card, right? Like you get 9 dark nights of the soul and the 10th one is free. You go through these deep cycles. You understand the karma, the healing, the lessons. You do the work that nobody knows you're doing, right? You're like in things that are very private and personal, but they matter because you know it matters to your journey in this lifetime, as well as what awaits you on the other side. So whatever your interests are, wherever your energy rises and you get excited and you're really into it, whether that is astrology or channeling or intuitive gifts or psychic development or human design or tarot or Reiki and energy work, whatever it is, all of it, just know that if it's calling to you, it's for a reason. And if you are feeling guided to do something that enhances your spiritual growth and your intuitive development, please trust that. I remember the first time I started channeling was in 2009. I was deeply engrossed in the work of Sanaya Roman, who is an excellent guide, and I highly recommend her work and her books. Sanaya Roman. She wrote Opening to Channel, as well as so many channeled books and offerings that I deeply resonated with. This was back in 2007, and then 2009 is when I felt the channeling coming through. And I started out by asking questions and then doing the automatic writing and just feeling the energy come through that was very loving and light-filled and warm. And the answers came through in a way that it wasn't my brain, because that's something you can start to question. You can play games with yourself about this and wonder, am I just answering these questions for myself? But you'll notice that the frequency feels different. The language is different. And ultimately, it lifts you up. It rises within you, and you could feel that your frequency and your energy is higher. And it was through that regular intentional practice that I opened up even more to the channeling of different energies and trusting what was correct for me. And I know that many of you have had the same experience and that it's something you're also deeply tuned into. And I feel like this is a huge gift for us to not only have gratitude for, but to actively work with, as the energies on the planet are going to require different perspectives, different understandings of energy and what humanity is moving through, as well as what is opening up to us. So this doesn't mean that you should start channeling or that it's something you even want to do. Basically, invest in your own spiritual gifts. Know that it's for a reason and that your energy is feeling that ping towards something that could take you even further in this lifetime and show you even more of what you can manifest and create in this reality in this lifetime. And eclipses can crack you wide open. It can crack you open to these instantaneous gifts or abilities or things that you doubted previously, but now your energy is in alignment for saying yes and believing it and subscribing to the fact that, yes, I can do this. This is possible for me. So I do hold that as an intention for all of us that we continue to step into more of our mastery, as well as the deep knowingness that there are benevolent energies and guides who are supporting us along the way. So I hope you have a beautiful journey through eclipse season and as we move into April. Again, thank you so much for connecting with me here. I'm grateful for astrology. I'm grateful for doing this work. And I'm grateful that we are in this together. And as always, I'll be back every Monday and Wednesday for a new podcast episode. If you'd like to find out more about my current astrology programs and offerings, you can do so at mollymccord.online. And I hope you find a program that helps you take your astrological knowledge to the next level. Take good care, and I'll see you back here soon.